What's up? What's popping? What's happening? How are you doing? And welcome to the fifth episode of Light Up with Mariam. Welcome, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for listening. Thank you to everyone who listened to the previous episodes. We're back again. So what's been happening, y'all? What's been happening at your end? Let me tell you guys. So this is basically even testimony time. So basically, I have a room heater, as most rooms would have. But then I got an additional heater because, I mean, extra warmth, right? And then recently, my additional heater stopped working. It just literally stopped working by itself. I changed the sockets. I tried different positions. For several days, this thing did not come on. So I took the consolation that, okay, the weather was getting warmer. I mean, I don't need it anyway, you know? For people, y'all know the weather is bipolar. So on a cold night last week, I went back to the heater and I just had one more prayer because, bruh, it was cold. And I just had one more prayer. God, please let this heater just work. Like, somehow. Like, I know this heater has turned off by itself, but then let it just come on. Like, I just need the extra warmth. People of God, I kid you not, the heater that it was a stone the builder had rejected, it has now become a cornerstone. Brethren, my heater came on. I am not even kidding. My heater came on that night. Bruh, won't God do it? Won't Jesus do it? So honestly, like, I've just been super happy and thankful for that miracle. And I pray for everyone else, to whatever that looks dead, to whatever that you've somewhat given up on, to things that you're losing hope for, I pray they receive life this moment. I pray they're revived. I pray there's new energy. I pray that they come on in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you that the entrance of your word brings light and understanding to the simple. Father, we ask that our hearts be simple to understand your word, and ultimately that all would hear, all would see, all would listen to, Father, today is Christ on this podcast. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen and amen and amen. Yo! I'm quite gassed about today's story. I mean, you already know today's topic is the Good Samaritan. As many non-Christians, and Christians use the term for people who have shown kindness or done good acts, you'll probably know the story, but I mean, you know, it's worth studying again. So basically, today we're going to start off with the narration of the story. We'll jog our minds a little bit, you know? And then we'll proceed to three lessons I learned from the story. First, believe. The things you will get from the story, there's so many, but bruh, I had to cut it down to three. And then we proceed to a music break, we'll have an activity of the week, confession of the week, and then we'll call it a day. Now, are you ready? Now, are you actually even ready? Are you ready to jump into the word of God? Let's go! Once upon a time, Jesus was teaching a group of people about himself and of God. Then one day, an expert in the law, a lawyer some would say, stood up to test Jesus. He asked him, "Master, teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus replied him, tell me what is written in the law. "How do you read it?" Like a peacock about to display its flamboyant feathers, the lawyer adjusted his tunic in pride of the knowledge he was about to display. He answered Jesus, "Isn't it to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength, and all your might? I mean, and also to love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus told him. "Do exactly as you have said, and you will leave unsatisfied." Did Jesus just make him answer his own question and make him a fool of the wisdom he thought he possessed? He asked another question, this time around, to justify himself and trap Jesus. So Jesus, he asked again, "If I'm going to love my neighbor as myself, then who is my neighbor?" To answer this question, Jesus told them a story. Thursday morning in Jerusalem, wind was fiercely dancing and to the melodies the thunders sing. The cloud was pregnant. Would she deliver soon? Would the rains pour down or bless us with light drizzles? Can I make it in good time to Jericho? Oh, I must hurry, for these roads are not safe. We hear stories and we pray not to tell them. These thoughts swamped Elihu's mind as he journeyed from Jerusalem down to Jericho. Elihu, a prudent Jew, committed to the service of Yahweh, an indo- your truest businessman, a father, a brother, a husband. Being a textile trader, he had become conversant with the corners, the pathways, the shortcuts, and express lanes to Jericho. A dangerous journey, anyone would say, but I mean, isn't life equally as dangerous? Lost in his thoughts and prayers for good customers, Aliyu heard a sound. Aliyu heard noise from behind, around, ahead, beside, all around him. Shocked and confused, Aliyu froze. It was barely morning. How could rascals be on the road? Before he could plead with them or offer them money, they outnumbered him. They dragged him off his donkey straight to the ground.
Hey, stop there. Calm down.
Stop!
Yes!
Come down!
Calm down! Calm down! Check his pockets! Check his body!
This guy did broke stop, sha!
Big man, cash money!
Hold the donkey! Don't let it go!
Textile trader.
They money stripped man. Him.
Grab his bag!
Bit him to pulp. They took all he had and left him half dead. Unconscious and in a pool of his own, Aliyu lay naked on the dusty, narrow road. Soon after, a priest was passing the road on the way to the synagogue in Jericho. For a great teacher of the law would be given a teaching. Ah, I must hurry, he thought. The rains threatened to pour. And just in that moment, he sighted something that looks like a human in blood. How could this be? Who could this be? When could this have happened? He turned as he looked around, but no time to waste time. He had something more important to attend in Jericho. So without checking to see if dead or alive, he muttered, "May his soul rest in perfect peace." Then crossed to the other side and continued the journey. Soon after, a young Levite trotted down the road, head choir master on duty at the synagogue today, the director of psalms and solos. As he approached Aliyu, he pitied him. Ah, poor man, he thought. But he had nothing on him to help. No extra clothes, no extra food, nothing at all. More so, today was a special service and he could not afford to be late or spare too much time trying to help this almost dead man. So the young Levite saw him and crossed the other side of the road too. Then suddenly, a despised Samaritan sighted Aliyu from afar. He hurried to him, checked his pulse. Is he breathing? Is he alive? He grabbed oil and wine from the yoke on his donkey. Filled with compassion, he cleaned the wounds with the oil, added some wine over it. Perhaps the alcohol content would disinfect it, he thought. Then he used his prayer shawl over the wound as a bandage and finally placed him on his donkey in search of an inn. Having searched for a place to treat him, he finally arrived at one. He told the innkeeper, "Take, this is salary for 2 days. Please look after him. If you spend more than this, I will reimburse you when I return." Then he left. Jesus ended his story. Now, Jesus asked the expert's lawyer, "Which of these men was his neighbor?" Grudgingly, the lawyer replied, "Well, master, the one who had mercy on him, of course." For his pride would not let him say the Samaritan was a neighbor. A merciful man sounded more politically correct. Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Now this is the end of the story. Yo, there was a story though. Who your storyteller be though? Who that girl be though? Y'all, just in case you want to read that story again, because your girl remixed it though. It's a remix, you know what I'm saying? It's in Luke chapter 10 from 25 to 36. Now, see, this story contains so many deep truths, so many that I'm afraid I would not be able to cover. However, we will talk about 3 main points from this story. Now, as we begin, I would invite you to consider the story of the Good Samaritan as an allegory and perhaps a part of a bigger picture. Essentially, a bigger picture is the representation of God's plan of salvation for man, Jesus. Now, the first thing, or our first point today, is that we are all like Elihu. The Jewish man in this story is a foreshadow or a reflection of the human race. Now, firstly, the Bible says the man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Now, Jerusalem means a place of peace, while Jericho means a place of idol worship. It's synonymous to the fall of Adam and Eve in the beginning, where they fell from a place of peace with God to that of hostility and strife and sin. Now, see, the Bible further says that the man fell among thieves. John 10:10 says the devil comes to steal. That is his first job. See, the devil stripped the man of his raiment. Same way the devil, as a result of the sin of Adam and Eve, stripped them of the glorious covering God had provided. Same way Lucifer was stripped of his power, his glory, his position as a result of his sin of pride. Now see, thereafter, with the Jewish man, these thieves wounded him. They left him half dead. The wages of sin is death. Now, following that, the story says that a priest and a Levite came afterwards. Now, the priest and the Levite held significant positions under the law. Now, the priests were trained not only in religious matters, but also in Jewish law, in literature, in tradition. Their purity was crucial since they offered sacrifice to God and they were middlemen also according to the laws. Meanwhile, the Levites, they manned the gates, they cleaned the temple, they slaughtered some of the sacrificial animals, they performed music during temple worship. So essentially, the priests and Levites were a representation of the law. See how they both came close to the fallen man, but they weren't able to help him out of that state. First, the priest could not come in contact with any dead or dying body, as it would render him impure. Likewise, the law in comparison with grace cannot help the fallen man. The law only proves that we are sinners and we are helpless. The law cannot be seen to be associated with sin. It's the role of the law to judge. So we could see why the Levite and the priest could not help. Because see, as a fallen man, the law cannot help. So let's relate this to our day-to-day life. Life in itself is a dangerous journey. From the news of evil to plane crashes to traumas to death to bombings, all of it. You could literally be going on your own way from Jerusalem to Jericho and trouble could meet you. And now see, you may be already at that down place. That place where you may have been stolen from, you may have been robbed, you may have lost your job, lost a loved one, feel like no one cares, struggling financially, going through a heartbreak, things don't seem to be going right, business is going downhill. So many things could signify that down for you, the same way the Jewish man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Now, so the Bible does even say that as believers, we would not experience these hard times. But then Psalms 34 verse 19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them from it all. And like the Jewish man, you might feel utterly rejected by people you thought would come to your aid, even as they walked past you. The friends you trusted who were unable to fill that void. The family that crossed to the other side just when you needed help. Rejection actually hurts. But see, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4 from 8 to 9, says, see, we are pressed on every side, but we are not crushed. Says we are perplexed, but we are not in despair. We are persecuted, but we are not abandoned. We are struck down, but not destroyed. So do not lose heart. Do not lose heart. See, I am here to tell you that if you are at that downhill part, God cares for you immensely, and he would rescue you if you believe he can. He is rescuing you even as you put your faith in him. And even in this moment, we'll go on a music break with the song Rescue by Lauren Daigle. Have a blast, guys. We'll be back in a bit.
You are not hidden. There's never been a moment you were forgotten. You are not hopeless. You have been broken, your innocence stolen. I hear you whisper underneath your breath. I hear your SOS, your SOS. I will send out an army. Find you in the middle. true, I will rescue you. There is no distance that cannot be covered over and over. You're not defenseless. I'll be your shelter, I'll be your armor. I hear you whisper underneath your breath. I hear your SOS, your SOS. I will send out an army to find you in the middle of the darkest night.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. From the music break, that was Rescue by Lauren Daigle. Yo, her album, Look Up Child, is truth. Don't sleep on it. It has songs for the season. Okay, so moving on quickly, our second point today is that Jesus is the ultimate good Samaritan. I mean, y'all know this is pointing back to Jesus. Y'all know Jesus is the superstar here. See, the Good Samaritan was a foreshadow of the redemptive work of salvation Jesus had come to the world to do. Okay, let's consider the parallels. Now, firstly, there's a constant rift between the Jews and Samaritans. Now, this dates back to the division of the kingdoms in the Old Testament. And really, in encapsulation, the Jewish people looked down on the Samaritans and had little or nothing to do with them for several reasons. Their mixed ethnicity, their ignorance, their disregard for the ways of God, their worship of God on the Mount of Gerizim instead of the temple in Jerusalem. So based on this and many, many, many more, there was a constant strife between the Jews and the Samaritans. But see, the parallel I draw here is that like the Samaritans were despised, Jesus was equally despised. The Bible says in Isaiah 53 verse 3 that he was despised and rejected by mankind. Jesus came to his own and they rejected him. Same way the Samaritans were rejected by the Jews. Next. Now see, when the Samaritan finds this Jewish man on the road half dead, the Bible says he uses oil and wine on his wounds. Now that got me thinking, why oil and wine? But then they also have symbolic representations. So olive oil is generally soothing, refreshing, cooling, and softening. Likewise, in Psalms 55 verse 21, the Bible likens softening words to oil. Now the parallel I draw is that the oil Jesus uses on this man's wounds, they could signify the soothing words of comfort and ease from Christ. More so, the Bible says in James 5:14, is any of you sick? Call on the elders to pray and anoint him with oil. Now, so the next thing the Good Samaritan uses is wine. Wine could signify the purifying nature of the blood of Jesus. At the Last Supper with his disciples, Jesus told them, giving them the cup of wine, he said, "This is my blood, which is poured out for the forgiveness of sins." So see, Jesus, in addressing this man that was down, he not only gave him soothing words to ease his pain, there was his blood too that forgave his sins. Now if this is you that is hurting, God's provision and desire is to oil you with his grace that comes with soothing words of comfort and assurance. God wants to tell you that all is well with you. He wants to remind you that He is with you. He wants to remind you that He's guiding you. He's holding your hands. You're not alone. He would rescue you. He would help you. And ultimately, you have to receive His forgiveness in the form of the blood of Jesus, like the wine. Imagine the Good Samaritan in need of help saying, "I don't want your help. I don't want your oil. I don't want your wine. I want to be helped by a Jew." The disappointment. Next parallel we will draw is that the Good Samaritan places this Jewish man on his own donkey. See, it's the same way Christ bore our sins on the cross. Isaiah says how Christ took our infirmities and bore our diseases. Likewise, when we encounter Christ, He takes His burdens from us. He gives us His own yoke that is lighter in weight. Remember my salvation story, how I struggled with anger. For me, Jesus took my anger, bore it on the cross, and then gave me a new identity of joy. Likewise, you, whatever you're going through, Christ has already even bore it on the cross. So you shouldn't go through that pain, that struggle, that rejection all alone. Let Christ help you like He helped the Jewish man. The final parallel we draw is that the Good Samaritan took him to an inn. He paid for the services and he promised to come back. Do you know that while you were yet a sinner, Christ died for you? Do you know He paid already for your sins when you didn't even know Him? He paid the sacrifice on the cross when you didn't even care about Him. And this is the extent of His love. Likewise, the Good Samaritan, He paid for this Jew's treatment while the Jew did not even know Him, did not care about Him, in fact. More so, see, the Good Samaritan promised to come back. Guess who else has promised to come back? Christ. Jesus has promised to come back for us, to return in glory. So we see the parallel. We see the parallel between Christ and the Good Samaritan. We see that Christ is always seeking to help us. Christ is seeking to draw us to Himself. And so even in our lowest times, He wants to tell us soothing words. He wants to whisper assurances to us. He wants to whisper His love and have His love overwhelm and overcome those fears that crowd your heart. Would you listen to Him? Would you let Him? While I was preparing for this, the Holy Spirit dropped in my heart that there's someone listening whose heart is burdened and you're deeply, deeply burdened. It says, come to the Father, for His own yoke is light to bear. Now, our final point today is the question, essentially our hashtag today. Who is my neighbor? Last, what are the moral lessons we can learn from this story? If we turn the picture Jesus is showing us to another angle, our question is, who is my neighbor? Now, Jesus tells us that it's not the person from the radically different culture on the other side of the world that is hardest to love, but the nearby neighbor with a different skin color, with a different language, a different ritual, a different value, ancestry, history, custom, just different from our own. That is our neighbor. Now, crucially, I learned that your neighbor isn't recognized by nationality, but rather by need. So who is a need? Whose need can I meet? Whose need do I have the capacity to meet? See, everything we have been given. So why hold back on giving someone else? Is it because the person is not from your tribe, your race, your religion, or even your group of friends? The same way Jesus came to rescue the one who could not repay Him. He was wounded, battered, stranded. Likewise, you do the same. Don't be the Levite and the priest who probably muttered, "Oh, God help him. Oh, Jesus. Oh, my shoe. Oh, such a pity. Oh, what is life?" No. If you are in the capacity to help, please help. Be a neighbor. Let your actions speak louder than your words. And I pray God, in His grace, would help us do this. Now, this leads us to our activity of the week. At the end of the story, Jesus told them, He told everybody there, go and do the same. Go and do likewise. Now that's our activity of the week, really. Go and do likewise. So identify someone somewhere with a need and meet this need. Someone who can't exactly repay you back. Someone who you may not see again. Just go and do likewise. And this leads us to our confession of the week. Our confession goes thus. Like the undeserving Jew, I receive God's love, mercy, and grace. Like the Good Samaritan, I will show God's love, mercy, and grace. Could you say it after me? Like the undeserving Jew, I receive God's love, mercy, and grace. Like the Good Samaritan, I will show God's love, mercy, and grace. And Father in heaven, What a privilege, what an honor, what a pleasure and joy to know you, to study of you, to experience your saving power. And Father, we ask that you help us receive your love and give this love so effortlessly. We thank you that you're working in us, you're giving us the power and the desire to do all that please you. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen and amen and amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for sticking with us to this end. Y'all know, hit up your girl on Instagram at @lightup_withMariam, on Facebook at @lightupwithMariam, and email @lightupwithMariam@gmail.com. I look forward to your mails, your messages, your texts, all of it. And y'all know already that I love you and Jesus loves you more. All my love, guys. Bye. Mwah.